We continue our study of the book of Ephesians, the letter that the Apostle Paul addressed there to the saints in that particular location. And we are starting the fifth chapter of our study this evening. And some of these you can see that we kind of go through there in an expository style, and then others we go through there in a little more topical style. All of that is just dependent upon my mood, I suppose. But my mood, I think, is being set as I look at these by what I'm considering or seeing as the primary idea, the big idea, that thing that, you know, that when you get through it all and you have all those details down and all of that, you come back and you go, oh, okay, I see, you know, what it is that the Lord is trying to get us to comprehend, to see, to, you know, to have that one particular big idea. And we saw that as a book, and you dividing that, it's divided as far as we have it in chapters, divided pretty much equally from the first three chapters, giving here the background and the information and the understanding of how we came to be the church, how it is that we are here, what we are about, being here in this particular location, and being a part of a number of those who have a belief in the same things, a belief in Christ, being added, a belief that we have been added by Him to a body of redeemed people, a body of saved. And we see then that those first three chapters give us quite a bit of insight in respect to that. And we see that the church is a temple as well, that God was producing something that He could dwell in. And how is it that we came to be that? Well, we are material within God's temple. We are that in which God dwells in. And we see then that He had to go out and find material even among a sinful world. In fact, that was His only choice, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we see how it is that He came up with us, how we came to be, even though our history is that at some point we were in rebellion to God. Some of us maybe to a greater degree than others, but nonetheless, all of us in need of that redemption and that forgiveness that God was providing in Jesus Christ. Now then that He has added us to that body of redeemed, that body of saved, now that we are that people, now that He has cleansed us and made us holy and made us a proper material for His temple, we realize that, well, yeah, but there are still occasions when I desire things that are outside of the perimeters of God's will, and sometimes not only do I desire them, but I do those things. I know that I do things that are not in sync with what God has called us to be. And we see then that He doesn't really spend His time upon, well, you can just, you know, repent and you can just be forgiven and you can go on with things. What He is doing is He's saying, no, I know where I brought you from, and I know at what point you entered and you came into this faith. You came into the body and such as that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to develop you, help you grow, mature, just like we do, you know, in our physical life, and change you. And where that, yes, you still have those occasions, but nonetheless, as we find that the more we walk in God, the longer that we live this life in Christ, the less frequency that we would need to repent of things and to confess those things, even though those will always be, in a sense, a part of our life. And so we get down to, well, He's brought us out of that wild life and added us to, you know, this body that He expects us to behave ourselves in. You know, it's just like bringing children into a place, going, now, shh, in here, we have to be quiet. In here, we're not going to be jumping over the furniture. In here, we're not going to be yelling, Susie, what are you doing? She's touching me, you know. And things like that, okay. Oh, wait, I think I just broke one of the rules of the library. And that's kind of, you know, where we begin. And so how do we grow up? And we noticed that, like in James, he talks about the taming, you know, bringing under control these aspects, these members of our body. And James in particular talks about the tongue, but we find that in a lot of Paul's letters, he talks about different members of the body that get us into trouble. And so we talked about that as taming our rebellious nature. And we've seen that, how does God do that? Well, of course, He forgives us of our sins, but also, as we saw then, that He disciples us, even the church. The church is discipled. And so He's teaching and instructing us. He's saying, now you got to learn to control yourself, but how do you learn to do that? And so in the fourth chapter, we saw that we bring certain things, we exercise certain things with self-control. We've got to, you know, exercise self-control. And now it's when we do not exercise that self-control, it's when we have to find ourselves going, oh, I messed up. Lord, please forgive me. I'm going to, you know, stop doing that type of thing. So as long as we're exercising self-control, you know, we're not having to, you know, have any regrets. We're not having to have any repentance or anything like that. But we find that, you know, it's just like as children a lot of times. Oh, I forgot. Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, you know, type of thing. But remember, no, now we are a part of the body of Christ. Here's how we behave ourselves. And so we exercise out self-control. And then he says, so to help us do that, so that we can know what we need to be about, what we need to be doing, how we can do that, he's given gifts to the church. He's given here those that are matured and developed and been along with this for some time, those who have the guidance of the word that the Holy Spirit has revealed that's come from the Lord himself. And so he says here, for the perfecting of the saints, he gave apostles, and he gave prophets, and he gave evangelists, he gave pastors, he gave teachers. And that's one of the ways he helps us do that. And in doing that, then, he reminds us, as we finished up there in the fourth chapter, so in that, Christ is teaching us. And he says, here's how we learn Christ. We have learned certain things from Christ. So Christ is teaching, discipling us. And as being disciples of his, he's given us this knowledge, this information. And then as he closes out the fourth chapter, or really he's not even closing out the fourth chapter, but for us it is. It wasn't written in chapters, not written like a book as we see them, but written as this letter. But nonetheless, still concluding this thought or this idea then. So he says, okay, so here is, you know, the things that, here are the changes that are made in your life. You put away falsehood. You speak truth one with another. You in your anger, you do not sin. You do not let, you know, the sun go down upon your wrath. And don't give Satan opportunities in your life. And so we went through those. And we talked about those briefly. Once again, we didn't do a lot of detail on that. But nonetheless, we're getting the big pictures here. So we get to the fifth chapter. And we find here that as we're looking at it, that I'd like to remind us as we look back through some passages, like in the second chapter and in the second verse there, he says, wherein you once walked. He talks about a way that you once walked. This morning we were talking about worldviews and using Cain and Abel. And we find that our walk is the way that we process things and how we look at things. And so we know that we're going to react regarding to the way that we, you know, process things. So if in my walk I am, let's say, becoming, you know, that I am very forceful, I know that anytime anybody does anything to me, that the way that I deal with that is, what? You stupid? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you cut me off. What? I was in line here and you just jumped right in front of me. I just stepped over here for just a second just to get this and look what you... And so you see, how we view the way that we go about and live our life is going to be, you know, our walk. And so he says, at one time when you were living like you were without Christ as the Gentiles, here's the way that you went about your walk. And then he calls upon us in the fourth chapter, in the first verse, he says, but you're getting a whole new walk. A whole new way that you respond to various things. And so he says, walk worthy of that calling. And then in the 17th verse of the fourth chapter, he says, you no longer walk like you did back here wherein you once walked. No, now we're seeking to walk worthily of our calling. And so we no longer walk that way. And then he says, okay, here's a way that you learn to walk. Learn to walk in love. And think about, well, the way that I process and the way that I respond to things now, if I think about, well, if I could do this, or if I think of doing this in love, then how would love respond to this? How would love respond to that stupid, good-for-nothing idiot that just cut me off in traffic, you see? Oh, wait, no, I am now walking in love. How would love respond to that? And so, you know, we might, and I'm not telling you, here's exactly how you have to do it, but we just might simply say, oh, okay, you know what, I make mistakes too. Yeah, I know. I've done that kind of boneheaded stuff myself. You know, I haven't seen people, or I've thought, oh, I can get out there before they get here or whatever. And then I find out, no, I miscalculated. I didn't make a good judgment. Yeah, okay, I understand. And so you see, that's how we are now walking. And so he says, as well then, think of this as being children of light. People are seeing this. Maybe not when we're in our car, but I have seen it in cars. I've seen people, you know, in fact, I've looked in my rear view mirror when I've cut them off. You know, and I can't hear a word, but I think I have a pretty good idea what's going on. You know, and so, too familiar, isn't it? So, oh, but how would a child of light? I'm being seen, you see. And so how would a child of light do that? And then we see here that in the 5th chapter, in the 15th verse, he says, look therefore carefully how you walk. Walking is such an interesting thing when you think about it. Okay, so maybe it's not to you, but it is to me when I think about it. And that is that, you know, a lot of times before you can see someone's face clearly and you can identify them by their face, you look at them and go, I know who that is coming. Oh, how do you know? How'd you know that was me? There's no way you could see, you know, and recognize my face. Yeah, but it's your walk. My oldest son has a walk that's just, you know, especially from behind as you see him walking, because all of his life he's walked like this on his tippy toes. He's got calves like that, you know. But so that's you know, the way that he's walked. And you identify people a lot of times by their walk, by their gait, by their strut, you know, how they do it. You remember back in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20 where it says about the prodigal son, the wasteful son, and he's coming home. It says, and his father sees him afar off, but he knows it's his son. I wonder how he knew it was his son afar off. And then he ran to him. The father ran to him. There's a good chance he said, I recognize that walk, you see. So we are often recognized by our walk. Therefore, be ye followers or imitators of God. The word that's used there is a word that we actually sounds a whole lot like our word mimicking. So to mimic. And so it's a little different than the idea of the disciple following as being a learner. But here it's just simply saying, in other words, that you go, now how'd you do that? Oh, okay. And so it's not necessarily that you are learning because you're going, well, you need to make this move in order for it to, you know, be able to reach in there. No, it's just mimicking. And so whatever you see that person doing, you do the same thing. And then pretty soon you'll find, you know, if you continue to do that, you'll always be about that. So if you find them picking up something in a certain way, especially if you're learning a particular job, that then that you'll just mimic. That's what you'll do. And he says, like children do, as they mimic their parents. God knows that the teaching that he gave his sons to follow there in the 20th and 21st verse of Ephesians was exactly the way that God Himself would do it. Because Jesus said there in John 7:17, whatever I see the Father do, remember that? Whatever I see the Father do, He says, that's what I do. And so Jesus asked the Son, showed us the Father, as He said to Philip. See, I'm showing you the Father, because however the Father does that, that's the way I have done it. So God knows that He's given that the teaching of His Son for His followers. And so He says then, as beloved children. And it's not like even that the Father's going, why are you doing that? Why are you doing that way? You know? Well, because I just saw you doing it that way. And that's why, well, stop doing that, you know. But here He says, no, as a beloved Father. Father says, yeah, thank you. That honors me. I appreciate that you are doing it the same way that I would do it, just because you are mimicking me, just because you are doing what I myself do. And so as beloved children, you know, it's just natural for children to imitate their parents. And sometimes even to justify our flaws on our parents. And that is, oh, well, yeah, I did that because, you know, that's the way my dad used to do it. I know that. I need to stop that. That's a bad habit. But, you know, I saw that in my dad, or I saw that in my mother, or whatever. And so we sometimes even pick up flaws from our parents. I have a good friend that's a brother in Christ that before he really got serious about living in Jesus Christ and doing what was right, he had a bad habit of saying some words that he shouldn't say, you know, using some language that he shouldn't use. And he'd get pretty good about not doing that among or around Christians. But back in the home and places like that, you know, he'd just kind of let it rip. And then this little 3-year-old son comes off with some of that colorful language in front of some brethren. And it's like, well, where did he learn that? Oh, it must be day school, you know. He doesn't go to, you know. Oh, yeah. And I tell you, the dad today is one of the most devoted and serious Christians you can get. And that little moment was a big turnaround for him. Just that little thing. And so we find that if we are to imitate God, where could we ever go wrong? What thing could we do that's bad or wrong that we go, well, I saw God do it, you know, type of thing, right? See, we couldn't, could we? So God's never going to steer us wrong. He's always going to give us the right example, you see. So He says, you know, He loves us, He cares for us, He's our Father, and He wants us to do just as He does. And so we cannot excuse any of our flaws by imitating the Heavenly Father. We look at this though as well and we go, well, God's so much bigger. God is so much brighter than even all of His children put together. How can just one of His small children show forth God's excellencies? And you know that's also in Scripture, you know, showing forth the excellencies of God, talking about us as children of light. So how could little old me, how could little old you, how could us, even with our flaws, but especially with who we are in respect to the size of God, how in the world could we ever, you know, reflect God's excellence? By imitating God in small ways. Some of these seem a little big to us, but to God it's just small things, it's just natural. So He says, so if you'll do it this way, guess what? You'll be just like, have you ever seen a little pool of water maybe out in the pavement, on, you know, on, in a parking lot or out on the street or something? But it's not very big, just a small pool of water. And you look down and you see the most perfect reflection of the sun. You see one of the most perfect images of the sun in it. And you look at that and you just kind of, wow, the whole sun is being able to be seen right there in that very small pool of water. It just takes a very small pool of water to reflect the sun, a star, in which the earth, you know, could fit itself into, what is it, thousands of times, maybe even millions of times, as far as the size of the earth. And that little pool of water is not even anywhere close to the size of this earth, is it? And yet it can contain the full embodiment, the full reflection, the full image of the sun. The S-U-N. And so we find that we too, God believes that we can reflect this perfect image of Him. And so it's in these small things, that is, things that are possible. So here's some things that are possible. Verse 2, he says, "And walk in love, as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us, an offering of a sacrifice to God for an odor of a sweet smell." We already talked about that a little bit. So if we're thinking about, well, how would love respond to something? He says, if we do that, if we walk in love, well, what is God? What is one of the characteristics of God? God is love, isn't He? And so if we just love, walk in that love, think about responding or doing or acting in a way that is loving, then we're reflecting God. Oh, we're a long ways from being as loving as God, I realize. But you see, He's showing here, if we'll just add these little things to our life, if we will just seek to participate in these little things. He says here in the 8th verse that we walk as children of light. We talked about that already a little bit, didn't we? But that's pretty easy. That's simple, isn't it? That's not a big thing to call upon us to do. God's not calling upon us to lay down our life on a cross or something like that, is He? Well, we realize that there might be that occasion when we are called upon to do that in order to make that confession, but we don't do that every day, do we? No, we wouldn't, because once we do it, it's done, right? You know, there would be no more. But yet, we find that if we'll just walk as children of light, He goes on and He says here, but be filled with the Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit as well as of the Godhead, isn't He? One of the Godhead three. And we find that not only is it a reflection of God, but everything that He would bring, Jesus says, will come from Me. Everything that He will teach, everything that He will instruct will come from Me. Think about how often does a Scripture come to mind because of something that happened, some interaction or some thought or something that's said or something that you see. You ever just look up at the stars at night and then you start to think about, you know, who am I that You are mindful of me, O God? And then get thinking about that Scripture, how that these declare the glory of God. And you see, in doing that, we are repeating that which the Holy Spirit has revealed. We are filled with the Spirit here, as He says here. In that, speak one to another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Where do we get these psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? What are spiritual songs? What qualifies as that? You know, how do we measure or judge, you know, these hymns that we sing and whether or not they are fitting to God? Well, we measure them all by what we learn and what we know from the Scriptures, don't we? From the Word of God. And so He says, being able to do that, you see, it's being filled with the Spirit. And so, that's why we encourage ourselves and we encourage one another to read the Scriptures daily so that we can be filled with the Spirit of God. So, we can go, well, how would the Spirit interact? How would He react? And so, when we're doing something, that Scripture pops to mind. It doesn't even have to be that you get a complete, you know, image of the Scriptures. Not even that you can go, oh yeah, well that's over in Psalms 119 and verse 9, you know, type of thing. Or in Psalms 19 and verse 9 type of thing. It's just that that'll come to mind. You know, that you would think of that. And one of the ways that that comes to mind is you go, you know what? We just sang that thought the other day. Well, that song was based upon this particular Scripture or this idea from the Scripture. So you see, that's how God helps equip us. This is how we begin to be transformed into this image that God has for us. He says here that as we sing these songs, these hymns, these psalms to one another, he says, make melody in your heart. Think about how that you want this to be an expression of your praise to God. Oh, I read these hymns and I go, I wish I could just write songs like that. I wish I could write poems like that. I wish that I could just flow with the beauty of the language and the words that they use to create these images and these pictures. But we don't have to be the creator of them. We just simply have to be the product of them, a remembrance of them. And we might repeat them. And we might go, you know, I can't say that in the way that they said it, but I want you to know, Lord, that's my expression to you. They said it perfectly. Oh, for years when Debbie and I, you know, would have, or when we'd have an anniversary or she'd have a birthday or something like that, I'd get her a card and I'd just put, Love, Joe. And she'd go, Love, Joe? What's that? You know? And I get a card from her and it's got all this flowery message and stuff. And I'm kind of like, you know, where'd the writer of the card leave off and she began type of thing, you know, because she's got all these things to say about, you know, her undying affection and love for me. And I go, Love, Joe. And I got thinking about it. I said, you know, dear, see, I can come up with something romantic every now and then. Sweetie, honey. Okay, I'm pretty much exhausted now. But I said, you know, when I'm picking out these cards, I don't just walk up there and pick up a card and go, okay, well, I have. You have too, Ed. I know. But most of the time, I don't just go up there and pick up a card and then just write Love, Joe at the end of it. I go through them. I look at them. And I go, you know what? There's no way I could ever write that. But that's my sentiment. That's the way that I feel about you, dear, honey. Sweetie pie. And so she now understands that, knows that. She knows when I pick a card that even though that I couldn't begin to write that, you know, use that kind of language, I don't even know those words. So, man, they sound pretty. And so when I put Love, Joe, she knows that's what Joe would say if he could even do that. You know, he just can't do that. He doesn't think that way. You see, that's what we're doing. And make a melody to our heart, in our heart, to the Lord in these songs. We're saying, Lord, if I could ever come up and invent, or if I could imagine and think of these words, these would be the words I'd like to have to express. My love for you, my devotion to you, my praise for you, you know, all the things that these songs offer. And so he says, if you do that, he says, you're reflecting God in your life. We see here, he says, to give thanks always for all things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we'll do that, if we'll just be mindful of, we don't even have to be at the beginning mindful of, oh, I'm doing this in the Lord and how all that and what all that involves and the connection that's made. But if we'll just think, you know, yeah, this is the way the Lord would have me do it. I'll do this because this is what the Lord reveals to me to do. You'd be surprised how that not long after that, that will become, you know, just the way that you would think about it and the way that you'd do that. And you'd always be thankful and mindful of the Lord. He goes on here and he says, subjecting yourselves to one another in the fear of Christ. When we submit ourselves to one another, we are following the example as we saw way back there in the first chapter when Jesus Christ submitted Himself to the Father. And they did that, as I told you then. I believe that they did that in order to set up this example for us, to help us to see what it means to submit to the Father. Here's God submitting to God. And if God can do that in the flesh, then we can do that as well, he's saying here. And so when we submit to one another in various ways, we just don't have time to get into, you know, illustrating all of these. I took up way too much time talking about my cards, you know. But that is reflection of the Lord, you see. And so now we're showing a little bit more. That's the walk. That's how we're walking in Him and imitating Him, because that's what He would do. When He says, wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, I want you to know that whether the husband realizes it or not, we find that the angels of heaven and the Lord Himself realizes it, and He says, that's what I honor. You're setting a right pattern. You're setting a right example for your husband. You're showing him something he needs to learn as he learns to subject himself to his brothers and sisters in Christ. A lot of times, you know, as men, we're not even getting to that tonight. We're going to go down through here, as you can see, and make note of it. But Lord willing, next week we can talk about this in a little greater detail, what all this means here. And Him talking about the church here, using the husband-wife relationship. But nonetheless, He's saying that's been an example to your husband, that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Oh, we all pretty much got that one down, those two. We know what those are. Pride of life. That's, He says, one of the three dangerous appeals of the flesh. And husbands, we learn how to give up that pride of life. We learn how to let that go. And that if our wife can submit to us, then we can submit to God. We can submit to one another. It's an example, He says, for us, because that's what God did when He was in the flesh. Not my will be done, Jesus said, but thy will be done. And then, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for it. Oh, we realize that in giving Himself up for the church, He went to the cross, He died. And I go, dear, I only have one life to give for you, so if I give myself up, that's it. You want to keep me around for a while, or would you rather I just give myself up? But then we get to look at it and we go, you know, the Lord gave Himself up a lot. Long before He ever went to the cross, didn't He? He was patient. He was long-suffering. Sometimes He kind of moaned in the Spirit. Sometimes He said, how long must I suffer with you people? But He gave Himself up, you see. Instead of doing what He, as God, had the power to do, He could slay all these people, all His enemies, with the breath of His mouth, even while He was in the flesh. And yet He gave Himself up. And so, we, when we give up our pride, when we give up, you know, our having to get the last word, when we give up, you know, even to our wives, we are reflecting that aspect of God, mimicking God, even as we are in the flesh. And then it helps us to learn what we need to be about as the church. I'm going to say this probably a couple of times. I'm going to say it tonight, and then Lord willing, probably bring it up again next week. But sometimes we get a little inventive with the church. We like to go, well, you know, I don't know. The church could do this, the church could do that, and, you know, we kind of get to... And maybe we can, but we need to be really cautious in that, because, you see, we're telling another man's wife what she can and can't do. And somebody come along and start telling my wife that she doesn't really have to listen to me and all things, that I really didn't mean this or I didn't really mean that, you know, I'd get pretty upset. And the Lord says, the church is my wife. And so we need to be cautious in what we would then, you know, permit the church to do, that we would want to do it as the Lord would permit it to do. If you want to go out there and be wild and in your own life, and by wild I don't mean, you know, wild like just the world, but if I mean you want to play it loose and you're willing to take certain risk, well then you'll give an account for that. You know, I'm not going to say you just go ahead and do it, but hey, I can't stop you. But as the church, that's something different. We're talking about several souls that are in Christ. So He gives here, but, and so there are a lot of things that are different. He talks about these things. So here are the things that you wouldn't do if you want to reflect God. And so He talks about some of those things. Go and read those. He says, they should not even be named among you as become saints and as children of light. He says, therefore, be not partakers of them. Because when we partake in those things, we do these things that he talks about here in verses 4 through 7. Then he says, we're not imitating God. We're not reflecting God. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And he says, so therefore look carefully how you walk. So we just need to be cautious about it, look into it, explore it. Need to be careful about the risk that we think that we are willing to take in the Lord. Oh, I'll take that risk. Okay, you know, I'd think twice about it. In fact, the Lord says, think twice about it. He says, look carefully how you walk and be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So it calls upon us to put forth some energy, some effort, and to study and figure these things out, because the Lord says, in doing that, you're being just as you would see me be. All right. So like I said, hopefully we can get there some big picture stuff. I realize there are a lot of things there. We could break down words and all of that. We could look at that. But we're just trying to get some of the big picture. Sometimes we do that. We've done that in some of these lessons. I feel like that we need to maybe kind of get a little bit of a perspective on that, just like we did like with imitator tonight and or follower here. Get a little perspective on that, just, you know, not so that we can just learn something, but so that we can understand what the Lord's trying to communicate, you know, how to get this big idea to kind of blossom, that light bulb, you know, to go from 25 watts to 100 watts, you know, in our minds. So we go, I see what it is the Lord has to do. Anyway, that you might be in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ tonight, we would invite you to use this opportunity. You're quite familiar with it, and so as we stand and sing, if you in some way would like to accept this invitation, we invite you to come.